Hello, everybody, and welcome into the Apples and Genos Fantasy Hockey Podcast. My name is Blake Creamer, and in this podcast, I'm going to give you all the best streamers and ad options for next week so you can start planning early. Let's get to biz. Oh, yeah. Welcome in, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate having you here. This is the Apples and Genos Fantasy Hockey Podcast, and I am Blake Creamer. I'll be your host today. Please give me a follow over on X. It's at Blake Creamer AG. Also, Apples and Genos has a Discord, but you know this, but we're still getting new members in there. It's awesome. So if you're in your playoffs right now, you've got questions, we've got answers. Myself and Nate are in there, Josh as well. And plus, there's just a bunch of amazing fantasy managers in there. So you always get a response to any questions you have. Check it out. Get in the Discord. We're doing stuff in there. So the link is in the description. Head on over. Do that. Also, Apples and Genos has a YouTube channel. You can go over there. Give us a subscribe. Thumb up the video. All that. Giggity, that sounds terrible. But yeah, we'd really appreciate that. We're trying to get to 1,000 subscriptions on YouTube. We're having a super time, all right? And YouTube, it is a work in progress. We're getting the biz over there. We're going to get some graphics and stuff like that, probably as soon as this summer. So I'm excited about that. You don't want to miss out, all right? It's going to be wild, wild stuff. But as you can see, I'm here by myself. I don't have my best friend Nate with me, and there's a good reason for that. He loved his calf implant surgery so much. He loved the outcome there, the final product of his calves. They're beautiful, by the way. That he's decided now he needs pectoral implant surgery. All right. And, you know, that's fine, you know, to each their own. And truthfully, it is a quick little surgery. And he showed me a picture. And honestly, I didn't think that Nate could get any more attractive. But I have to say, I was wrong. All right. This man is an Adonis. He's an absolute unit. Let's agree on that. And I'm here for it. And you know what? If we get enough comments on the YouTube video here, Nate has promised to give us a couple poses next episode. Oh my God. So help me out, everybody. I mean, you know, he might even do that pec dance thing that Terry Crews does. So yeah, put your comments on the video here. Let Nate know you want to see his beautiful pectorals. All right. That's good, clean fun for everybody. All right. But let's move on. Dear God. It's week 25 coming up. We hopefully you guys you're in your playoffs or you're, you know, just finishing up. Like myself, I'm finishing up my semis right now. I'm in two semifinals in my head-to-head leagues, and I'm going into the finals next week. So week 25 is my finals, and it might be your finals too. So this is all the more important, right? And the good thing is this is going to be a great streaming week. We've got lots of options, lots of games. The games are spread out. I think we're going to have a field day. So I'm glad you're here checking this out, because I want to give you all the best stuff here. All right. But first things first, we got to talk about some newsies. Yeah. Let's head on over to New York. All right. That beef for Supreme sandwich, Jacob Trouba, he's close to returning and could be good to go for Saturday's game. This guy's missed 11 games with the lower body injury. So obviously with New York's schedule this upcoming week, and we'll get into that, he'd be very valuable for you in a Cats league, right? This guy smashes. We know what Jacob Trouba does. He's a beast. So yeah, but bangers leagues, obviously Jacob Trouba is very important. So just keep an eye on that. He could be back soon. Okay. Moving over to the Jets. Gabriel Vilardi, he's back. He's going to be back with the Jets on Saturday. And this is really good news because there was kind of a little scary medical issue. He was dealing with an enlarged spleen. What the hell is the spleen even for? I mean, you know, I don't know. So I guess I could Google it. But, you know, anyways, medical issues to me, pretty damn scary. So it's really great news to get Vilardi back in here. So he's also going to get prime deployment, because why not? Thank you, Rick Bonus. I mean, we got Nikolaj Ehlers here, but you got this guy coming back off an enlarged spleen. Let's give him line one, power play one. Book it. All right. And that's what's happening with Gabe Vilardi. So, yeah, if you dropped him or if he's out there, you could re-add him. Absolutely. If it makes sense for your team, this guy's going to get some good opportunity and deployment. All right. So that's that. This is this. Over to the Avalanche, Valerie Nichushkin, Machine Gun Valley. he's still day to day. He missed last game there, and I would guess that he's going to miss this upcoming game on Saturday as well. He's got a lower body injury. Casey Mittelstadt is the guy lining up on power play one with him out, not Lehkonen, which is a little bit frustrating for me, but it's going to be Casey Mittelstadt, and Jonathan Drouin is still on power play one as well. But I do think Nichushkin is going to be okay for the playoffs. This does sound like a true day-to-day injury. So I think they're probably just being cautious with him because they want to get him back and healthy and cooking, because he's doing really well on the power play this year. In Vegas, Alex Pietrangelo should be back from injury. He could be back anyway on Saturday with the Golden Knights there. So we will talk about Vegas' Golden Knights schedule in a bit, but it's not good. All right. In a week that looks really great, Vegas is pretty much the only team that has kind of a stinky schedule. So the good news is the week after week 25 is great, but we'll save that for another time. But anyways, Alex Pietrangelo could be back. So check your lineups if you got him in there and you can activate him. Okay. Lots of news out of Toronto for the Leafs. Timothy Liljegren, who was rocking power play one and doing pretty damn good with it, he's now out with an upper body injury as per coach Sheldon Keefe. And it sounds like it's going to be more week to week as opposed to day to day. So that's straight from the coach there. So that sucks. I mean, this guy was playing pretty well. And Riley's out as well. Morgan Riley, he's dealing with some injuries as well. So what does it mean? Oh, God, it means you fire up Connor Timmins and you don't look back. All right, Connor Timmins. Connor Timmins? He's going to rock power play one for a little bit. So that's a nice little piece for him. I mean, in a very deep league, you could look at Connor Timmins. I'd like to see him do this a little bit more and see what we actually have here. But it's not something you should be getting super excited about. But that is a good power play and he's going to be on it. So take that for what it's worth. Sticking with the Leafs, Mitch Marner still not ready, but he's ramping up and he just needs more participation in practice before he gets back into games as per coach Keefe as well. So he's dealing with that ankle injury, which sucks. It was a minor ankle injury that's kept him out for like 10 games. What the hell? Sports injury reporting is ridiculous. Like, just give us the information. All right. God, like, I don't know. The one thing I don't know is do other teams like look at this and be like, oh, he's got an ankle injury? Yeah, I'll make sure to get out there and like give him just a good whack and try and break it. You know, is that where we're at? Like, is that why they're so secretive with it? I don't know. If somebody tells me knows, let me know. Anyways, he's probably not going to be back for a little while. But again, I think they're just exercising an abundance of caution there. They want to get him, fully healthy, ready for the playoffs. So keep riding with Bertuzzi and Maximus Domius in his stead. Bertuzzi is getting power play one with Marner out. So yeah, I would prioritize him over Domi, but they're both playing all right at the moment. And then lastly, with the Philadelphia Flyers, just some interesting news. Top KHL goaltender Ivan Fedotov, he signed with the Philadelphia Flyers and he's going to play some games for the Flyers. So that's very interesting. Daniel Briere, the GM there, also did confirm that Sam Ersson is going to remain the number one goalie. So that's just a good data point. That's good information for us because Ersson is a zero G guy, right? He's a guy we might stream in, or he might just be your goalie on your roster. So not to worry. I think Urson's not going to really be affected. And they got this new guy in here. They're going to give him a few games. So anywho, that is that. That's the newsies. Now we got to get into week 25 here. This is good stuff. All right. It's a very good week for games. There's lots of games. So it's a heavy week and I'll get into that, but the games are spread out really well. Like there's only one day where we're actively trying to avoid it. And it's really not even that bad. You might be able to get players in on every single day this week. So that's what we want to hear, especially going into your finals week, or even if it's your semifinals, like you're going to have lots of options. So now we can actually do some stuff, right? So let's get into it. Week 25, there are 8 games on Monday. There's 8 games on Tuesday as well. And then there's 5 games on Wednesday, 9 games on Thursday, 6 games on Friday, 11 games on Saturday, which is a light Saturday. So that's nice. And then 9 games on Sunday. So we've got a busy Monday and Sunday here. That's kind of where these extra games are coming, but they're still considered light nights to me. You should be able to get some players in there. So that equals 56 total games, right? And what we consider a heavy week here is 55 plus, right? And there's 56. So yeah, it's a heavy week, but like I said, it's spread out really well. So we've got some options, right? And with this great schedule, this means back-to-backs are in play. That means we can use these back-to-backs because you can get players in for both games. So one move, two games, we'll be able to use that, utilize that. And speaking of that, there are three teams with a Monday, Tuesday back-to-back to open the week, and they are the Florida Panthers, the New York Islanders, and the Pittsburgh Penguins. So that's a great way to start off your week, right? And we'll talk about some of those players that you can pick up. There's six teams with a Monday, Wednesday to open the week. And, you know, usually that's a great thing. But again, Monday, there's eight games. So it's not like you're trying to avoid a busy Tuesday because there's eight games on Tuesday as well, right? So I think all three of those days are absolutely viable. But anyways, there are six teams with a Monday, Wednesday to open the week. So let's take a look at that. Those teams are Edmonton, New York Rangers, Seattle, LA, Tampa Bay Lightning, and Toronto. Those are the teams that start with a Monday, Wednesday. And I did want to just mention with this week here, like we can really pick and choose where we want to stream players, right? And the Monday, Wednesday, like I said, those games are kind of similar. You've got 8-8-5 for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, right? So I think the Wednesday, Friday is probably a little bit more important, right? You're going to have to look at your rosters though, and that's really key. You got to look at your roster, set the lineups and see where the gaps are, right? See what days you need to avoid. Maybe Monday is your busy day, for example. So if that's the case, then you would look to see who has the Tuesday, Wednesday back-to-back. Does that make sense? And speaking of that, there are two teams with the Tuesday, Wednesday back-to-back, and they are the New Jersey Devils and the Vancouver Canucks. So, you know, check those first 3 days, right? There are four teams with Wednesday, Friday off nights. And that's Edmonton, New York Rangers, Seattle Kraken, and the Arizona Coyotes. And then there are eight teams that dodge that busy Saturday. They play Friday, Sunday. And those teams are New York Rangers, Colorado Avalanche, Washington Capitals, Anaheim Ducks, Arizona Coyotes, Buffalo Sabres, Detroit Red Wings, and the Carolina Hurricanes. All right. So there are lots of different options for this week. And off nights are not nearly as important as they were in week 24, right? Like that was really one of the only ways we could win, you know? And speaking of that, how about JJ Paterka? Oh man, this guy's popping the hell off and we love it. That guy was a legendary streamer. You know, if this is, you know, your playoffs, you're loving that. But anyways, because off nights aren't nearly as important here, I think the priority should be maximizing games, obviously as usual, but we can start to focus more on the value of these players instead of purely schedule plays, right? Which is what we had to deal with, you know, this last week here with Buffalo and Vancouver. So when weeks look like this, I kind of like to separate it into front half and back half, right? Because like I said, we can maybe play all seven nights. That's a possibility. And that's great, right? So I'm going to also split them up into front half and back half for you. So here are the four teams with three games in the first four nights to start the week. Okay. Florida Panthers, LA Kings, New York Islanders, and the Pittsburgh Penguins. All right. And there are 10 teams. This is important. So, you know, definitely rewind this, listen to this, right? There are 10 teams with three games in the last four nights of the week. So starting Thursday, right? Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And they are the Colorado Avalanche, Washington, Capitals, Columbus, Minnesota, Montreal, Nashville, Ottawa, San Jose, St. Louis, and Carolina. Nothing could be finer. All right. So those are your front half and back half. So because there are so many teams with three games in four nights to end the week, I think what I'd probably look at doing is grabbing like a Monday, Tuesday or a Monday, Wednesday player to start and then kick over to one of those 10 teams. So for example, like you grab a player like Anthony Duclair from Tampa Bay, right? For the Monday, Wednesday start. And then you drop him after Wednesday for a player like Casey Mittelstadt or Dylan Strome. Right. And you'd get three games out of that player. So that's two moves for five games played. Okay. And again, you're going to have to set your lineups for the whole week to see where the gaps are. If you can't get a player in on Saturday, you could go with the 3-4 team to start the week. Right. And then move into a Friday, Sunday team to end the week. Hopefully that makes sense. Right. They're like, again, it's very critical, very important that you set your lineups and just see who are the players on your bench? Those are the guys that we're looking at potentially moving off of, right? Especially if this is your finals in a redraft league. If you're in your finals in a redraft league, it's all bets are off, right? You're dropping anybody who's not getting games, like you, if they're not making your lineup, like we can punt them. It's no big deal, right? You get ruthless. So don't think you have to hold on to certain players, right? But obviously you got to do what makes sense for your team. So that said, Saturday is the only real day that we need to avoid. And like I said, you might have space on that 11 game Saturday. So this is where player valuation is going to be massive, right? And that's what we do here at Apples and Genos. And where we rank these players is key, right? Because you're going to have a ton of options. So we want to look at, and I've mentioned this before, but these are the things I look at when I'm valuing players. And for me personally, I want to have two of these three things when I'm picking up a streamer, especially in a week like this where there's lots of options, right? So two of these three things, listen closely. Okay, deployment, which is actual ice time, right? Time on ice. Opportunity. So are they in the top six? Are they on the top power play, right? Do they have that opportunity? And metrics, right? That's the last piece there. Are they crushing in the metrics? Like if they have two of those three things, I think it's like that's putting things onto our side for a player that might be ready to pop off, right? And we can get even more granular than that, but that's just a quick way to help you make decisions when you're looking at streamers, all right? So remember that deployment, opportunity, and metrics. Those are the three things I'm all about when I'm looking at picking up players, okay? All right, another way you could go to if you're looking at doing a week-long stream, something I talked about in the last waiver wire show that I did was looking at plus twos, right? Which I've mentioned before. There won't be much of an opportunity to do that this week as there's only one team with a two-game schedule, and that is the Vegas Golden Knights, and I'll get into that. But what I mean by plus two is ideally, you know, when we're making a move, we want to gain two games by dropping a player. So at the start of a week, you know, an example would be dropping Ivan Barbashev for a player like Alexis Lafreniere, right? A two-game player to a four-game player. We're just getting a plus two there, right? And there's also chances throughout the week as well to do that, right? And that's something that the Rolling Lines podcast is really good at doing. Like you listen to that on Thursday, you know, obviously hit us up on Twitter, get in the Discord, right? We'll help you identify those plus twos, right? That happen throughout the week too. Right. But that's a really basic way to maximize games played. And, you know, that, if you didn't know, is the way to win your playoff matchups. All right. You got to maximize games and just suffocate your opponent with games played. Just crush them. All right. And hurt their feelings. All right. That's how we get from A to B. But again, now I'm going to get into some of the actual players. And let's look at the worst teams to stream or drop fringe players from. And like I mentioned, there's only one team where you're really like, and you don't even have to drop these players, right? Just again, disclaimer, you don't have to drop these players. We're talking about fringe players. Does it make sense for your team to have this guy here, right? Are they popping off like to a crazy degree, even though they only have two games? Do you want to keep them? Like, I don't know. We'll check this out. But it's Vegas, right? Vegas Golden Knights play two games and they're both on off nights, right? But the crappy thing about this is it's a little bit spread out. They play the 8-game Tuesday and the 6-game Friday. So they play Vancouver on Tuesday and Arizona on Friday. Those are their only two games. So it's not like you can hold them and then move off of them because it's kind of separated, right? So to me, Vegas players, I'm not really interested in holding on to these guys. There's no one on that team where I'm like, you got to hold on to that player, right? And keep in mind, Vegas has an amazing schedule in week 26. I think they're four games with four off nights. So if this is your semifinals week 25 and then your finals is week 26, like you might have to think about that a little bit, right? It's not just an automatic drop, but to me, like we're looking at players for Vegas like Noah Hanifin, right? Or Barbashev, William Karlsson, Chandler Stephenson. These guys to me, I think they can all be safely dropped. Like obviously Barbashev, like he's been going pretty good, which is great because he's my deathmatch streamer. Hello, love that. But I mean, you know, four goals in five games for Ivan Barbashev. That's really nice. But I mean, nothing else really popping off. William Karlsson, like he's on the third line, second power play, 5 points in his last five. Like these are not guys you have to hold on to at all costs. Noah Hanifin, he's getting good deployment. Metrics are okay, but one assist in five games, that's not going to cut it. So, and then Chandler Stephenson, we know what he does, like, which is nothing on the metrics end, but somehow just pots some points. He's actually got 4 points in his last five, but these guys, to me, they're all guys that can easily be dropped. I don't think I need to say too much about those Vegas players, But again, remember week 26, they do have a good schedule. Moving on from that, there are six teams that play three games with one off night. And when you have, like, I didn't mention this at the top, but there's actually 17 teams with four games this week. That's great, right? So when there's 17 that have four and you've got players that play a three game week, yeah, it is a little bit of a disadvantage, right? We have to look at that. And not only do these teams play three games, they only have the one off night. And again, the off night's not so critical this week. But anyways, these are the six teams: Boston, Carolina, Calgary, Chicago, Dallas Stars, and the Winnipeg Jets. All right. So let's roll through some of these beauties and see what we're doing with these players. So in terms of Boston, I want to look at players like Jake DeBrusque, Charlie Coyle, Pavel Zacha, and Morgan Geeky. We got to look at this. So I'm going to give you just a little bit of a spiel on each of these players. We're going to pick up the pace a little bit later, but I do want to dive in a little bit just in terms of what you should do with these players. So in terms of Jake DeBrusque, let's look at what he's been able to do. I mean, 3 points in his last five. Metrics are okay. 137th overall in shots on goal per 60, 172nd in shot attempts per 60, but 238th in individual scoring chances for per 60. That's not great, right? Not to mention pretty low on ice shooting percentage, 8.8. It hasn't really been the season we hoped for with Jake DeBrusque. He's on a 44-point pace, and currently he's on the outside looking in on the power play. He's on power play two, where Pavel Zacha is the guy really getting that sweet deployment, right? And Jake DeBrusque has found himself kind of down the lineup. He's playing with Morgan Geeky and Justin Brazeau at times as well. So Jake DeBrusque, to me, he could be dropped, no problem. I don't have an issue with that. How about the Coiler? Oh, God, he filled the bowl, and then he flushed it and filled it again. Buddy, no, all right? Give us a courtesy flush, Charlie. That's how we get the business. You know, it's been a great season for Charlie Coyle, but this is a guy, you know, metrics-wise, terrible, and they've been terrible all year. He's got one assist in the last five games. That's no good. I mean, metrics are shocking. 344th in shots on goal per 60, 338th in individual scoring chances for per 60. So that ain't going to cut it, my man. So I think Charlie Coyle could be an easy drop if you're rostering him. There's going to be so many other options here. The one player I'm not really looking to drop right now is Pavel Zacha. I think that the opportunity that Pavel Zacha is getting, like, he's, first off, he's line one. He's playing with Brad Marchand and David Pastrnak. They've loaded up, and Zacha is the center there. And then he's also playing on the top power play as well, as is Charlie Coyle, as after I talked a bunch of yang on Charlie Coyle. But yeah, Pavel Zacha is on the top power play as well. And he's been able to do stuff, right? Like, Pavel Zacha, 4 points in his last five games, goal and three assists. Good minutes, though. Just over 19 minutes. I mean, the metrics, nothing great. He's on a 58-point pace on the season, but I like the way, you know, the way he's trending there. I think Zacha could be a player that, you know, I wouldn't just be rushing to get off. But, I mean, these other guys, yeah. Like, Morgan Geeky as well, no. Like, we're not holding on to Morgan Geeky this week. Again, he's not an auto drop. Like, if he's fitting into your lineup and he's doing something, and then, you know, I think he's a totally fine player, but the only person on Boston I'm really looking at holding is going to be Pavel Zacha. Okay, let's move on. We've got to talk about Carolina. Some players on this team, yeah, that I think are on the bubble. That could be dropped, no problem. Tara Vinen, Jacob Slavin Maven, and then the Eagle, Yevgeny Kuznetsov. All guys that have actually been decent as of late. I mean, besides Teravainen's got 0 points in his last four games after coming back off injury. He hasn't really been able to put it together. And yeah, he's kind of moving up and down the lineup, where guys like Seth Jarvis are just popping the hell off. But I mean, Teravainen's line with Svech and Jordan Staal has not really been going very well. And then Teravainen's on power play too, as is Kuznetsov. So I think those guys can all be dropped safely. No problems there. How about Seth Jarvis? Holy man. This guy has really, like, I've been listening back to some of my old episodes just to see kind of where I was at with this stuff. And Jarvis was one of the guys that we targeted as a sleeper, right? And that's not a hot take, right? We expected this guy to do something this season, but man, he's on a 67-point pace. He's been playing great lately. 3 goals, 2 assists in 5 games. Love me some Seth Jarvis, and this guy seems like an absolute beauty. So anyways, just giving the man his flowers. But I mean, any of these guys, Kuznetsov as well, I think is a pretty easy drop. He's streamer level at this point. He's not getting the ice time either, playing just under 15 minutes in the last five games with only one assist to show for it. He's back to the Eagle we know and don't love. Let's move on to Calgary. There's some good streamers here that you know, we would have to make some decisions on, but I mean, if they aren't that hard of decisions to make, right? Like we're looking at Blake Coleman, who's had a great year, but I mean, 0 points in his last five games. The metrics have been great. I mean, last five games, 57th overall in shots on goal per 60, 18th overall in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60. But donuts, Mr. Coleman, please. If you could just, you know, pot a couple goals there. But I mean, if you had Blake Coleman at any point this year, you were loving life. This is a guy I had a waiver pickup that I ended up keeping for a couple months just because he was popping off, right? And yeah, 28 goals, 23 assists on the season, 58-point pace. I love it. This is much more than you probably expected from Blake Coleman. So shout out to you, my man. Guy seems like a beauty, and he's having a great year. I just don't think he needs to be rostered right now. How about Yegor Sharangovich? The shine has worn off, buddy. No, one assist in his last five games. The deployment's not great. I mean, averaging 16 minutes, that's not going to cut it either, right? Again, this week, there's going to be so many options, right? And Sharangovich has moved his way down the lineup. Like, he's not playing top line anymore. Blake Coleman was playing with Mikhail Backlund and Huberdeau, if you call that a top line. Sharangovich moved down with Connor Zary and Dryden Hunt for most of the game. So yeah, it's just, I think you could punt him. There's no problems there. But again, a great season for Sharangovich. Maybe a player I'm looking at next season, depending on the type of deployment they give him. But, you know, it's, I think he's overachieved a little bit this season and he's probably due for some regression. Jonathan Huberdeau, we talked about him. I have no confidence whatsoever in Jonathan Huberdeau. So I'm not looking to hold him. Two goals in his last five games. Decent deployment. I mean, last five games, he's ninth overall in Corsi 4 per 60. So on ice numbers, Corsi 4 per 60, ninth, 15th overall in scoring chances, 4 per 60. So, you know, his line's doing the thing. But, I mean, two goals in five games, that's not really working for me. He's not really shooting very much. Again, a 52-point pace he's pacing for. This is ridiculous. I've never seen a guy fall off like this. So I don't know. I don't know what this is going to mean for Huberdeau moving forward, like into next season. I mean, he might not get drafted next season and then could be like some amazing waiver wire pickup if he starts getting hot. But it's a guy this year that I really did think was going to bounce back probably to like a 75-point level. I think I projected him for something like that, 70 to 75 points. So yeah, this is a whiff for sure, but it's really hard to put your finger on what's going on there with Huberdeau. Like, you got a new coach in here. You got a different power play coach. You really thought Huberdeau was going to get prioritized and it didn't exactly happen. And I think something's off, right? Something's off there and, you know, maybe something we don't know. Anyways, Huberdeau, bounce him. No problem there. What about Nazem Kadri? I think I'm trying to hold on to Kadri. I think this guy, he's just too good, right? If we look at what he's been able to do this season, yeah, he's only has two assists in his last five, but the metrics, again, really good. 37th overall in shots on goal per 60, 17th overall in shot attempts per 60, and 74th overall in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60. And that's been his MO all year. He's on a 69-point pace. Nice. That is excellent, right? Especially on this team that's been hot garbage for most of the season, like an offensive wasteland. So, yeah, Kadri, I'm trying to hold on to. He does have power play one. He's getting lots of deployment. So let's keep him rolling. And then, I mean, Rasmus Anderson too. I think we got to look at potentially dropping him. The numbers aren't great. He's not getting power play time. It's just like, what are we holding on to this man for? Like, yeah, he gets some decent deployment, but it's really nothing else. They're giving Miramanov power play one. I mean, Mackenzie Weegar and Anderson are on power play two, but that show ain't no good. We're not into it. So I think if you needed to, you could absolutely drop Anderson. There might be some better options out there. Let's move on to Chicago. The only guy, obviously you're holding Bedard, but Seth Jones, maybe. I mean, you could drop Seth Jones at the beginning of the week and then maybe stream him in. Like, Chicago has a Saturday, Sunday back-to-back. So that is an option, actually. Like, they play on Tuesday against the Islanders, but then they play Saturday, Sunday back to back. So, I mean, if he's on your wire or if you need to drop him, like, you could definitely try and pick him up again for Saturday, Sunday. It's a reasonable add, but again, there's going to be so many options. The thing that makes this difficult is Seth Jones has been really good lately. He's got 4 points in the last five games, including 3 goals amongst defensemen, 12th overall in shots on goal per 60, 32nd overall in shot attempts per 60, and then 30th overall amongst defensemen in individual scoring chances for per 60. That's great. That's really, really great. And then if you have any banger waiting, I mean, Seth Jones does that too. So I'm certainly not advocating you dropping Seth Jones, but in this week, because they only play on the Tuesday and then it's Saturday, Sunday, I might look to get off him and pick up one of these players that plays 3 games in the first 4 nights. And then you can grab Seth Jones later on if you can fit him in on your Saturday and then ride him for the Sunday. Okay. So that's where I'm at with Jones. Everybody else, I mean, get him the hell out of my sight. I don't need any of these players on my team. Moving on to Dallas. Lots of options here that could be dropped, but you know, I mean, they're just playing so well. Like, I watched the game last night with Vancouver and Dallas, and they're a strong team. They're a stingy team as well. They can just beat you with 3 lines. So, you know, we're looking at players like Jamie Benn, and I'm only bringing him up because how the hell is this man doing this? I don't even understand. Like, I don't think we're dropping Jamie Benn here. He's on a heater. This guy's got 6 goals and 3 assists in his last 5 games. The metrics are reasonable too. 29th overall in shots on goal per 60 and 82nd overall in individual Corsi for per 60. That's pretty damn nice. I mean, his ceiling should be capped. He's only playing just over 15 minutes average time on ice, but in the last 5 games anyway. But power play 1, it really props up Jamie Benn's floor, and he's obviously feeling it. He's playing very well right now, and so is Dallas. So yeah, I don't think I'd be dropping Jamie Benn. Moving on to Duchesne. Oh no. I mean, Matt Duchesne, of course he's doing it again. He went through a cold spell and now he's on his point streak again, right? He's got 4 points in the last 5 games. Metrics putrid, right? But who the hell cares? Obviously not Matt Duchesne. He doesn't care what we do over here at Apples and Genos. He's just going to continue producing. So 71 point pace for Duchesne. Did not see that coming. And I don't see it coming next year. I don't care. Like, I'm still fading this man. This is an overachievement to me for Matt Duchesne, and he's done it all year, and he's done that before. He did that in Nashville, right? But if I had to bet on something, I would not bet on Matt Duchesne getting 71 points next year. My 2 cents, but I don't think you're getting off Duchesne. You're not getting off Wyatt Johnston. I think you got to hold him. It's only a 3-game week, so it's not terrible. But guys like Thomas Harley and Sagan, even though, like, Sagan has 4 points in 4 games, I don't know. They rested him the other day and I didn't like that, right? I actually picked him up before they rested him and I was like, oh, this is a nice, because it was a garbage streaming week on week 24 and I had a spot for right wing. So I got in Tyler Seguin and then they ruled him out for rest, right? And if they're doing stuff like that with him right now at this time of the year, like, I'm out. I don't want to have any chance that that happens. Like, luckily, both my matchups, I'm pretty far ahead, so it didn't affect me that much, but I can't have that, right? So to me, Tyler Seguin, I wouldn't be adding him. And Thomas Harley, you know, he's still getting decent minutes, but he's not producing at the same level. I don't think you need to hold on to Thomas Harley. I think he's, at this point of the season, he's streamer level. That's my 2 cents on that. Okay. So there you go with Dallas. And lastly, Winnipeg. Let's talk about some of their players. How about Tyler Toffoli? Jeff Gillooly. Gillooly. Anybody see that? Family Guy? Oh, no. Jeff Gillooly was Tanya Harding's bodyguard, FYI. Little trivia there for you. Not so fun fact. Guy's a dingus. Probably the most anybody's talked about Jeff Gillooly in a fantasy hockey podcast ever. All right? And I'm happy to be that person. Anyways, Tyler Toffoli. he hasn't been playing very well as of late. Neither have the Jets, obviously. This guy's got 0 points in his last 5 games. Metrics not great. I mean, 267th in shots and goal per 60 over the last 5, 261st in individual scoring chances for per 60. That stinks, right? But that's not really what is indicative of Toffoli's play. Like, on the season, he's 60th overall in shots and goal per 60, and he's 41st overall in individual scoring chances for per 60. So I really feel like this is more an indication of the way the Jets are playing right now, which is not great. You know, and this said too, like, Tyler Toffoli on ice numbers excuse me, over the last five games. Corsi 4 per 60 is 24th. So at least his line is generating, you know, some pucks towards the net, right? But it certainly hasn't equaled any production there. So long story short, though, are we dropping Tyler Toffoli here in a three-game week? I don't think so. I think you got to hold on for now. I mean, he's still got that line one, power play one, and that's valuable, right? And this is a player that has a history of, Tyler Toffoli's not line one. He plays with Sean Monahan and Nikolai Ehlers, which is still a great place to be, but he does have power play one, right? Unless he gets bumped off for Gabe Vilardi. So we'll have to keep an eye on that. Actually, I'm just backtracking all over the place because I'm looking at stuff. If Tyler Toffoli is line two, power play two, that's a potential drop, right? You don't have to hold at all cost. But again, like we're talking about, it's three games versus four games. So is it really that valuable for you to drop a guy that could get bumped right back up to power play one? I don't know. You're going to have to make that decision. And Winnipeg does play on Monday. They play LA. So if you were thinking about dropping a Winnipeg player, you're going to do it after Monday, right? We don't want to drop them before they play a game because they play Monday, Thursday, Saturday. That's the Jets. So just keep it in mind, right? But Toffoli, to me, he's definitely not untouchable. Other players on the Jets we're looking at. Sean Monahan, who is getting that power play one, second line there. He's got two goals in the last five. The Jets have really been stinky as of late, and it's not a team I'm excited about right now, especially going into your finals. Like, I wouldn't be like, I got to get some Winnipeg Jets on my team right now. Like, these guys are slumping big time. They're backing into the playoffs, which is not where you want to be. So Sean Monahan, again, I'm not too excited about that. He's had a great year, but he's been slow as of late. So there you go. If there is someone who I'm trying to hold on to on the Jets, is Nikolai Ehlers, as per usual, right? But as per usual, he's getting the Rick Boner treatment. He's got 16 minutes average time on ice in the last five games, despite the fact that he's got 4 points in the last five games. And big surprise, folks, great metrics player in the last five games, 26 overall in shots and goal per 60, 11th overall in the league in individual Corsi 4 per 60, and then 58th overall in individual scoring chances 4 per 60. So I don't know. Make it make sense, Rick Bonus. Can you help me out? What is Ehlers just a dink? Like, is he just some prick in the dressing room? And they're like, you know what, buddy? No, we're shaving like 3 minutes off your ice time. That's what's happening. All right. I don't know. You want a little offensive spark? You want to, you know, score some goals? Can you put Ehlers on top power play for the love of Pete? I don't get it. All right. But, you know, maybe someday we'll see that. I don't know. And then Gabe Vilardi as well. Like, you can pick him up. Again, three games with one off night. It's not terrible. Like, pick him up for Monday maybe and see what happens. He is going to get line one, power play one. And he's been reasonable with that this year. But again, coming off injury, What should we really expect from Vilardi after this medical issue that he was dealing with? Is he going to have his legs? Is he going to have his wind, right? And what was the injury that he was actually being assessed for where they did find this enlarged spleen? Like, it's very mysterious what happened with Vilardi. So I don't know. With that type of injury, it's not a player that I'm looking to get, especially in a week like this where you can pick up some other players, right? All right, let's move on. So after that, those are six teams with three games and one off night. The next worst schedule, seven teams that have four games and one off night. See, that's where we're at. Like, last week was so terrible. This week, like, we're calling teams with four games and one off night one of the worst schedules. Yeah, it's a nice place to be, right? And I'm going to do this in kind of a rapid fire way here. But these seven teams that play 4-1, Columbus Blue Jackets, Minnesota, Montreal, Nashville, Ottawa, San Jose, and St. Louis. So I'm going to give you one player just to talk about for each team there, and just that I think is a fringe player that you can probably drop. So I start with Columbus, and you know I'm not going to say Boone Jenner. I'm going to say John Gaudreau. All right, I think John Gaudreau. Like, yeah, you don't have to drop him. That's for damn sure. Like, Gaudreau has four assists in his last five, so he's doing stuff out there. But metrics are terrible. Columbus is terrible, and it's just. Like, if there's any other weighting of any kind in your points league, or if you're in a bangers league, like, this guy's an auto drop. Like, he's not doing anything. So I don't know. I think you could safely drop John Gaudreau and not feel too bad about it. You could also hold him. So I know that's a bit wishy-washy, but to me, that's a fringe player. If you need to get a player in that's like a good player that's on a four game team, go ahead and do that with John Gaudreau. No issue there. All right. Moving forward, for Minnesota, I think Brock Faber could be a drop if you needed to get off someone on Minnesota, right? Like he's still getting some reasonable deployment, like very good deployment, actually. What am I talking about? He's playing like 24 minutes a night. He's got 2 points in the last five. Metrics, you know, a little better actually recently than what he's trended for on the season. 64th overall in shots on goal per 60 amongst defensemen, and then 71st in individual scoring chances for per 60. It's okay, right? It is what it is. Like, I think what made Faber so valuable this year is the sheer amount of ice time that he had, right? It was crazy. You have to respect that when a guy's getting 28 minutes average time on ice for a long stretch like that, yeah, he's going to get some points, especially once they put him on the top power play. Well, now he's off the top power play. He's playing power play two, and that legend Declan Chisholm. I'll look that up and fix it in post. He's getting power play one there with the big boys. So yeah, why if Brock Faber's not on power play one, there's really no need to hold on to him at this point. So I definitely think that could be dropped. He could be dropped. Sorry, I know he's a person, not a thing. Moving over to Montreal, I think this is an interesting situation actually, because there aren't really any good drops from this team of the guys who should be rostered, right? And if I had to, I would say Yuri Slavkovsky. But this guy is on an 8-game point streak right now. So that's really a tough drop to me. And I'm not dropping Suzuki. I'm not dropping Cole Caulfield. I'm not dropping Mike Matheson. So, I mean, Slavkovsky is really the only one where I would think about dropping him. But why? I mean, you don't have to. This guy's, he's been popping off. I love the point streak. So, I mean, if you hold on to Slavkovsky, it's not an issue at all. I think maybe try and drop someone from another team as opposed to some of these Montreal guys. And it's weird that I'm saying that, but yeah, I think you can probably hold your Montreal guys and feel pretty good about that in a 4-game, one-off night schedule. So there you go. Moving on to Nashville. Looking for a player here that I thought would be, yeah, maybe droppable. And I'm looking at Ryan O'Reilly. It's a bit strange, right? This guy, he's a 68 point pace this year. He already has 61 points. This is a great season for Ryan O'Reilly. He's really been able to get some chemistry with his line mates first off. And he went from the Leafs where he was kind of like a third line option, you know, maybe power play one, like 15 minute man, to now Ryan O'Reilly has averaged just under 20 minutes on the season, right? For ice time. And that's great, right? That's what he needs. This guy's a horse. We've seen him do it, you know, in St. Louis, and it's been a nice little season for Ryan O'Reilly. That said, metrics are terrible. This guy doesn't shoot. He doesn't get chances, right? And his production is based on the efficiency of his line mates and his own efficiency. So to me, again, we're just putting things on our side. If you're looking at, you have Ryan O'Reilly and you're like, oh God, I don't know who to stream another guy in. I think you could stream in a player for Ryan O'Reilly, even though he gets line one, power play one. And the Predators have been crushing. They just got crushed themselves the other night. But I mean, prior to that, obviously we know about the point streak that they had going there. So anyways, again, you don't have to get off Ryan O'Reilly, but I think to me, Nyquist, like even though he gets a little bit less ice time, better metrics, he's producing more. And like, I can't doubt Gustav Nyquist anymore. I think this is a great season for him. I don't see how he's going to repeat this next year, but we could be looking at a 60 point Gustav Nyquist next season. That would be reasonable if he stays on this line and keeps on the power play. Like, it's been a nice season for Nyquist and he's landed on his feet here, that's for sure. My two cents on the Preds. Let's move on. Going over to Ottawa again. I looked at a player like Giroux. I think Giroux, I'd still like to have him just for what he brings to the table. Like, you know, he could pop off at any moment. He's clearly an offensive player. I know he's getting power play two and line two, but to me, the guy, the fringe player I would probably look at dropping on the Senators is Jake Sanderson. And again, you don't have to, but to me, Jake Sanderson is like, this is a guy that, yeah, he's getting power play one right now, but he's not doing anything with it. He's got 0 points in his last five games. Metrics, not great. I mean, shots on goal per 60, okay, amongst defensemen, 56 overall in the last five games, but how about 141st in scoring chances for per 60? Buddy, that's not good, right? Like, obviously this guy's value is higher on the ice than it is in fantasy, but you know, Jimmy Crack Horn, and I don't care. We're not here for that. This is fantasy, and you could be in your finals here, and we can't afford to take zeros from Jake Sanderson. So I think I'm out on him. You know, it's not an auto drop, but if you're looking at making a streaming spot, I think Sanderson is ripe for the picking. Okay. Moving over to San Jose. In a week like this, you really shouldn't have any sharks on your roster, to be honest. I know there's some guys that are performing reasonably, like Zetterlund or Mikael Granlund, right? But in a points league, I think, what are we doing, right? We could get any number of other guys, like all the players I just spoke about from these other teams. Like, you could have any one of those. I would take any one of those guys over Sharks players, right? So that's just where I'm at with that. I mean, if you're in a Cats league, you can look at guys like Mario Ferraro and Kyle Burrows, right? Those guys are beefers, but I mean, that's that, right? Like, there's really no reason to hold on to any San Jose players at this point. And then for St. Louis, Justin Falk, I think, would be the player where if you're holding him and you were holding out hope that he's going to, you know, go on some offensive bender, like, it's just not going to happen. He does have 3 assists in his last 5, so that's nice, but he's on power play too. The metrics aren't great. Obviously, if you're in a Cats league, Justin Falk does that, hits and blocks. He's good to go for that. So if you have heavy banger waiting too in your points leagues, maybe you want to hold on to Falk in a 4-game week. But I think that you don't have to hold at all costs by any means with Justin Falk. All right. That's where we're at with that. Okay. Those are the fringe players. Now we got to talk about the best teams to stream, or as Nate refers to it, as he's coming down from the anesthesia from his pec surgery, the dreamiest streams I've ever seen. All right. I feel good about that. Yeah. Let's talk about, there's one clear team that does have the best schedule, but again, these off nights aren't as important, right? I feel the need to keep reiterating that. So yeah, you know, you don't have to go out and be like, I have to go get one of these players, right? Because they have the best schedule. No, there's so many different strategies and ways that we can treat this week. But in a bubble, the New York Rangers have the best schedule this week. They play 4 games, all in the off nights, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. Let's go. Let's look at who we're looking to pick up here. They got a couple options, right? Obviously, Alexis Lafreniere. This is a guy that Nate and I have been talking about this year. He's had good stretches. He's had bad stretches. Well, right now he's on a good stretch, and it's great to see. This guy's got 3 goals and 2 assists in his last 5 games. He's 53rd overall in shots on goal per 60 and 30th overall in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60. That's nice. Yeah, and he's always power play too, right? He's not going to crack that top power play, but Alexis Lafreniere, it's been a nice little season, a stepping stone development season for him. You know, this all said too, last 5 games, his shooting percentage is pretty high. He's up 19%, so we could probably expect some of those goals to go away, but yeah. And I know for sure, actually, with Alexis Lafreniere, when he has a good week and then I get excited about it, then the next week is just all donuts. Not saying that's going to happen, but, you know, he's a streaky player. So Alexis Lafreniere, though, he's on a line with Trocheck and Panarin. That line's been great. He hits, he blocks, he Julians. So I think Lafreniere could be a good add if you're looking to go with a Ranger. And then how about Jack Roslovic as well? I think we got to throw him in there, although he's not really doing the thing at the moment. This is more just because he plays on the top line with Zibanejad and Chris Kreider. Chicken necks! So yeah, Jack Roslovic, 1 assist in his last 5, 170th in shots to goal per 60, 361st in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60. So that show ain't no good. What also isn't any good is his ice time over the last 5 games, 13 and a half minutes average time on ice. So, I mean, if it's slim out there and you want to go with the Ranger, Roslovic is viable for sure. But, and he's power play too as well. But, you know, we know what they do with their power plays there in New York. And it's all the big boys on power play one. And then if you wanted to throw in Keandre Miller here as well, you absolutely could. But he's not giving you anything offensively. You know, 24 minutes a night, that's great. But 0 points in the last 5. Metrics, terrible, right? He's a beefer, so he'll give you that. I think this guy's a year or two away from really, I think he can be offensive, right? Maybe like a 45-point defenseman at some point, but I think that's still a little ways off, especially because he's behind a guy like Adam Fox and Jacob Trouba there, right? These guys chug minutes and a lot of touches there. So I do like the player, but I think he's still a few years away from being really fantasy relevant. My 2 cents on that. But yeah, there you go with the New York Rangers. I think anybody else, it's just a flyer, right? Like Kaapo Kakko is even going to be in the lineup, maybe, right? Wenberg, he was, to me, more viable in Seattle because he was getting massive deployment. But here in New York, he's a third liner, penalty killer. He might get 13 to 15 minutes a night. So those type of players, they can be added, but I'm not like these players that I mentioned here, Lafreniere, Miller, and Roslovic, those are the guys that can get you some offense. Let's move on to the next team. It's kind of 1A and 1B, New York Rangers being 1A and Edmonton Oilers being 1B. Oilers play four games with three off nights, and the Oilers do play, what the heck do they play? They go Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then Saturday, right? So as you can see with the Rangers and Edmonton, you could stream in a player for Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, right? So it's a one move, three games, and then you could go to a like a back-to-back team on Saturday, Sunday, right? There's a couple of those, like New Jersey or Dallas. They both play back-to-back. Actually, there's a ton of teams that play back-to-back. So take a look at that, because that's another way to get five games out of two moves. You pick up a New York player or an Edmonton player, and then you move on to a Saturday, Sunday back-to-back team. My two cents on that, but let's talk about Edmonton. They got some bits and pieces. We got to look at Adam Henrique, right? Just because of his deployment, right? It's Adam Henrique and it's McLovin, Warren Fogle. They are both riding sidecar with Uncle Leon Draisaitl on the second line. So that's really nice. Henrique scored a goal off his chest the other night. So that's, you know, that's what happens when you're in Edmonton. You just stand there. These guys will bank pucks off you into the net and you'll get a nice goal there. That's great. But obviously Adam Henrique is a little bit better than what I'm describing him as. But again, these guys aren't super exciting streamers. That's for sure. Like Fogle played in the last five games. He's played 13 and a half minutes average time on ice. Not awesome, right? And his metrics have been good throughout times in the season. Right now they're not, right? He's 168th overall in shots to go per 60 in the last five, 281st in scoring chances for. No. All right, how is that even possible when you're playing with Leon Draisaitl? I don't understand. But anyways, there's Fogle and Henrique. He's not much better, right? The ice time is really the capper for these guys. That's why they aren't exciting streamers. Like Henrique played just over 14 minutes in the last five games. Two goals, pretty nice, but power play two. I'm not into either of those guys in a week like this, but I am interested in guys like Evander Kane and Matthias Ekholm. And I know they are above the 50% threshold that we look at here when we're giving you streamers, right? And we're talking Yahoo rostered 50% and under. Those are the players that we target. But I did want to mention Evander Kane and Matthias Ekholm, just if they're out there, right? I think even though Evander Kane he's been moved down the lineup. He's not doing much. One goal in four games. Like the metrics are stupid. As per usual, he's kind of getting back to biz with what we know him for, right? Shots and hits. And penalty minutes too. Obviously, you're in a banger league. Like this guy's rostered. But if for some reason someone dropped Evander Kane, even with the lower ice time, I'm still interested in that player here this week. Like he's 12th overall in shots and goal per 60, 10th overall in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60 over the last five games. Those goals are going to come. He's been putrid this year with his efficiency, but you know, it is what it is. And there's always a chance he gets moved back up the lineup. So take a gander at Evander if he's out there. And then Matthias Ekholm, how about this? 6 points in the last five games. He's been great. He's been great this season. And this has been one of his best stretches of the year. Two goals, four assists, over 21 minutes average time on ice over the last five games. And then third overall amongst defensemen in shots on goal per 60 and third overall in individual scoring chances for per 60. That's great. Right, that's the kind of streamer you want. And I know I think this guy's something like 61% rostered, but he might be out there. And I think in a week like this, and you're looking at defensemen, like they're a little harder to get, right? I think there'll be a glut of good forwards, but not so much defensemen, right? And I think Matthias Ekholm would be a premium stream if he's out there. So take a look on that, Matthias Ekholm. Shout out to you, my man. Let's move on. All right, a couple other teams here with good schedules. The next one is Seattle. They play three games and all three of their games are on off nights. So they play Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So throw them in the conversation with New York and Edmonton. Like you can start out with a Seattle streamer and then move on to like a Saturday, Sunday back to back. All right. That's something you could do, but should you do it, right? Because damn, this truly is the stream team and there's not that many options, is there? It's been rough all year and your guess is as good as mine as to how they're going to be deployed. The other thing in Seattle is their power play is like a 50-50 split. So you're not really getting extra value. It's hard to know who to target because in one night, you know, the power play two could get all the time. And then one night power play one gets it all. So, you know, long story short, like I'm not too stoked on a bunch of these players, but let's just look at some of them and I'll give you my thoughts on how to rank them. To me, Matty Beniers is the guy I'm interested in the most. I think he's being prioritized the most. You know, he's getting just under 20 minutes average time on ice over the last five games, 2 goals, 2 assists in the last five games as well. So he's starting to cook a little bit after, you know, it's been a pretty rough season for him, rough sophomore season. Not where he wants to be, you know, a 39 point pace after winning the Calder Trophy. That's a little rough, right? You know, that said, I think this guy is going to be viable for fantasy probably next year, right? We're going to see a bounce back here, but right now this ain't it, my man. But anyways, metrics not great, but he's on the number one power play, if you call it that, in Seattle. So I'd probably go Beniers, Eberle again, 2 goals and 1 assist in the last five, just over 18 minutes average time on ice. With Seattle, it's really the deployment. That's where I'm leaning a certain player, right? And obviously Beniers has the highest. Eberle is the second highest. They play together on a line. They're both getting reasonable deployment. So that's fine. I mean, you can look at Oliver Bjorkstrand, the jerk store. You can look at Ilya Tolvanen as well, but these guys aren't blowing the doors down. There's nothing they're doing that's really popping right now. So I'd probably go Beniers, Eberle, Bjorkstrand, Tolvanen, just like that. If you're going to go, and if you need a defenseman, I mean, Justin Schultz, you could do worse. He's getting power play time, but not by much, not much worse. You know what I mean? So if you do need a power play defenseman, he's out there, right? But who the hell knows how much time he's going to get. Okay. So I'm not going to go much further with Seattle. I'm going to do a rapid fire here. All right. Because I don't want to get long in the tooth, but the next ones down, there are 8 teams that play 4 games with 2 off nights, right? And I'll talk about these teams and then I'll give you one player that I'm targeting on that team. All right. So those teams are Colorado, Florida, LA, New Jersey Devils, New York Islanders, Pittsburgh, Tampa Bay, and Washington. Let's get into it. So my top streamer for Colorado has got to be Jonathan Drouin. And what the hell? Like, yeah, what do we do? What do we do with this? The guy is getting massive deployment. I mean, that's that. This guy played 28 minutes the other night in a loss. So, I mean, if he's getting that kind of deployment, you have to be in, right? He's the guy they're targeting. I didn't think it would go this way. I thought Lekkonen would get this type of treatment, and it really hasn't panned out that way. Otherwise, I'd choose Lekkonen. But we got to go Drouin. He's power play one. He's got 7 points in the last five. Metrics, whatever. I mean, I guess he's 102nd overall in the last five games in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60, which is pretty good for him, right? And his on-ice numbers are crazy, as they should be playing for Colorado. But yeah, he's just out there. He's going to bludgeon his way to points for you. So I think it's a very safe stream, albeit boring, right? If you're going to go Colorado, but there you go. My 2 cents on that, Jonathan Drouin. Over to Florida, we got some options. I think the two best options are Tarasenko and Sam Bennett-Dyson. But I'm going to go Tarasenko on this one. And that's weird for me because I've been, you know, pumping Bennett's tires all season, but he was off the power play too, even just two games ago. He wasn't even on the power play. And last game, they only had one power play and he didn't get out there. So I'm not sure what they're going to do with Sam Bennett, right? But if he's not getting power play time, I don't know. I'm like, I think we have to go at this point of the season. We got to go with who's going, with who's scoring, with who's getting that opportunity. And right now it's Tarasenko. Even though Tarasenko is getting a little bit less ice time than Sam Bennett is, he's scoring. I think we have to respect that. Tarasenko in the last 5, 2 goals, 1 assist. Metrics are middling. Ice time is middling. But he's going right now, right? Like, and by going, he's got 3 points in 5 games. But if you're going to go Florida, this guy's getting a good opportunity, right? He's with Barkov. He's with Evan Rodriguez on the top line there. And he's getting power play too, right? And there's always a chance he gets bumped up if they start throwing the lines in a blender. So I think he's probably a better pick and probably a better chance that he's going to do something for you. Even though I love Sam Bennett, if you're in a bangers league, Sam Bennett, there's no question the guy should be rostered, but it's Sam Bennett's been weird. I think he's a metrics guy too, but lately it just hasn't been happening for Sam Bennett. I'm not sure if there's an injury or he's just being, you know, moved down the lineup a little bit to try and even things out. But yeah, for now I'm going Tarasenko with Florida. Let's move on to LA. How about Victor Arvidsson? See you at the party, Victor. Yeah, I'm going to take Victor Arvidsson there over Quinton Byfield. It's not a slam dunk over Byfield. Like, obviously, Byfield is a great player in his own right, and he's had a great season. But and Quinton Byfield's playing with Anze Kopitar and Kempe. But I just like Victor Arvidsson. I like what he brings to the table. He's playing on that third line with Pierre-Luc Dubois and Alex Laferriere. But look at the metrics, damn it. Oh, God. He's got 3 points in four games since coming back off injury there. One goal, two assists. 83rd overall in shots on goal per 60. 83rd overall in individual Corsi 4 per 60. 180th overall in shots or in individual scoring chances 4 per 60. That's not awesome, but he's been getting the power play time. That's what I like to see. That's where I'm at. Like, he's the one been on that top power play as opposed to Quinton Byfield, right? It's Victor Arvidsson, Kopitar, Kempe, Fiala, and Doughty. That's the top power play right now. So if Byfield's off that top unit, I'm less interested, right? Because Byfield needs a bit of efficiency, really, to get his game going. He's a great dynamic player, no question. But yeah, he's relied on efficiency this year, where Arvidsson is normally a metrics guy. This is a guy we like, good shot and chance generator. So he hasn't really been doing it the last five games, but give him some time. This is a guy that looked great in the playoffs for the Kings last year too. So I'm just a fan of Victor Arvidsson, and I think he's probably more readily available than Quinton Byfield is anyway. So that's my pick for the Kings. I'm going with Victor. Next up, New Jersey Devils. I'm not really a big fan of any of these streamers, to be honest. So if I had to choose one from the Devils, I'd take Eric Halla. He's getting big deployment there. He's lining up with Jack Hughes. It hasn't really equaled much, but if I had to bank on it, I would just put those in his corner, right? He's getting deployment and he's getting opportunity, right? He's got 2 out of 3, and the metrics, not great. All right. He's 188th in shots on goal per 60 over the last five, 134th overall in individual scoring chances 4 per 60. So not where you really want to see it. Two assists in five games as well, but the deployment's there. He's playing just under 20 minutes. So if you're going to go Jersey, I think Eric Halla is your huckleberry. Let's move on to the New York Islanders. And we're talking about this man again, that monster chugging, drywall smashing Kyle Palmieri. It's, this guy's had a nice little season. I mean, again, it hasn't equaled, big production, obviously, but he's got a nice little stretch here. If we look at what Kyle Palmieri's been able to do last five games, he got two assists, but again, shots on goal per 60, 32nd overall in the league, 26th overall in individual Corsi 4 per 60, and 48th overall in individual scoring chances 4 per 60. That's pretty damn nice from a guy that is guaranteed is on your wire, right? And he's on a 48-point pace, and I think he's got a little headroom for more, especially if he's going to keep going like this. He's line one, power play one. If you're going to go with an Islander, I think it's a no-brainer. You got to go with Kyle Palmieri there. Let's move over to Pittsburgh. And how about Rusty? All right, we got to, he's so keen on Beefarino. Brian Rust. All right. Anybody watch Seinfeld? Yeah. Obviously, if you listen to the show, you know I like Seinfeld. I like me some Seinfeld. Anyways, Brian Rust. I think this guy's a dunk. I was surprised to see he's still only 46% rostered. Like, I know Pittsburgh's not really getting the job done here lately. They had some problems scoring very lately but this guy's getting massive time on ice. He's power play one. He's line one with Sidney Crosby, 46% rostered. What are we doing? What? This makes no sense. Like, he's got 3 goals and 1 assist in his last 4 games, averaging over 21 minutes time on ice. That's it right there. That's, 184th in shots on goal per 60. Okay. 170th in individual scoring chances 4 per 60. That's fine. That's actually worse than his season numbers, right? And that's kind of the way Pittsburgh's been playing lately, but he's out there in the big moments with the best players. Brian Rust, 46% rostered. If he's out there, I think this guy is a great add this week for your teams. And let me look at Pittsburgh's schedule here. They play Monday, Tuesday, back-to-back. So Brian Rust would be a great start. They also play Thursday. So if you wanted to do that 3 games in 4 nights, Pittsburgh's one of those teams. And Brian Rust, if he's out there, this is a dunk. It's a big dunk to me. So take a look and see if he's out there. That's my guy. Book it. All right. Last couple teams here. Tampa Bay. I think we got to look at Big Dookie. All right. Oh, God. Big Dookie and the Coiler. Sounds like a radio show. Dookie and the Coiler. I got to come up with a catchphrase there. Oh, that's terrible. I'm just digressing. But yeah, Anthony Duclair, I think, is there's a couple options here. You could go with Nick Paul as well. But Paul does have power play one, which is great. But Duclair is line one with Kucherov and Point at even strength. And Duclair has second power play. I just think Duclair is a more dynamic player. He's better metrics wise as well. You know, and he's cooking right now, like 5 points in the last five games, averaging just over 15 minutes time on ice, which is fine, but he's 27th overall in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60. That's what you want to see, right? That's a nice number. So I think he'll probably continue that, and he might get a little bit more time on ice, right? And he's been moonlighting on power play one as well. So, you know, if the power play goes cold, which it probably won't in Tampa Bay, but I could see them moving Duclair back up to the top power play there at some point, maybe this week, you know, if they're looking at changing things up. So I endorse Anthony Duclair as a pick this week. I think that'd be great. And then lastly, Washington. I got to talk about Old Faithful, Nate's favorite player of all time, Dylan Strome. All right. We just can't deny this man. I think if you're going to go Washington, Dylan Strome is your guy. There's no question there. This guy's got 7 points in the last five games, playing 20 minutes a night in the last five games. How about these metrics? 301st overall in shots and goal per 60. Yeah, that's not good. I mean, as evidenced by this stupid assist he gave Ovi the other night, like he's literally on a 2-on-1 and he's right in front of the goalie and he just waited. He just turned and looked at Ovi the whole time and then passed it over. Like that's Dylan Strome in a nutshell. That's his season, but 68 point pace. He already has 60 on the year. You can't deny that Dylan Strome is a viable fantasy hockey asset, and he's had a great year and I'm here for it. I'm a fan of Dylan Strome. Way to go, buddy. So there you go. That's one player from all those eight teams. There are seven teams that play three games with two off nights. I'm not going to go into players here, but Anaheim, Arizona, Buffalo, Detroit, they all play Friday, Sunday, right? And so those teams could be options for the end of the week. Again, that's Anaheim, Arizona, Buffalo, Detroit, Friday, Sunday, right? So, you know, those could be back half teams for you. The other two teams can be front half teams for you. Toronto, which play a Monday, Wednesday, and then Vancouver has a back-to-back on Tuesday, Wednesday. So again, it's that front half, back half thing, right? And I've just separated that for you. So there you go. All right, we're doing well. Now I'm going to get into the best players to stream ranked by me. All right, I've made a ranking here and I'm standing by it. So for this week, I think your best bet is to go with Brian Rust. That's who I've got number one on my list. Again, I explained the reason why I think Rust is going to be so viable and so good this week. Just massive amounts of deployment, power play. He's got it all. He's got all three of those things I look for, you know, on the season anyway. His metrics on the season are great. Not recently, but it's going to come back. I really feel good about that pick. So Brian Rust, shout out to you. Number two, I'm going with Gustav Nyquist. I think that, again, this is another player like Dylan Strome. We can't deny what this guy's been able to do. We can't deny what Nashville's been able to do. And this guy's been a part of it, right? And I think they're going to be pretty damn salty after taking an 8-4 loss against the Coyotes. Damn. They're not going to be happy about that. So the streak ended with a huge, just a turd, but that's fine. I think they'll get back to biz. And this guy's a big part of the offense there. So Gustav Nyquist, we salute you. Number three, Alexis Lafreniere. I think I've mentioned why he's a good streamer, right? Especially with the four off nights, if that's something that's going to be important to you this week. Number four, you know, I think I've got Victor Arvidsson there. And again, I explained what I like about Victor Arvidsson. If he's off power play one, he's definitely going down the list. But Victor Arvidsson on power play one, I think they're just going to keep ramping him up. And I think his metrics are going to level off to the point where they usually are, right? Which is much higher than they are right now. So there you go. Jonathan Drouin is number five for me. He's playing 28 minutes. He played 28 minutes the other night. Obviously, Jared Bednar likes what he sees out of Jonathan Drouin. If he's playing 28 minutes, he's most likely going to run into some points. Dylan Strome is my number six. Yep, talked about Dylan Strome. He just keeps doing the thing. What are we going to say? Anthony Duclair at seven. Quinton Byfield at eight. I did throw him in here. He does have four assists in his last five games. And, you know, there's always a chance he gets bumped back up to power play one. Kings have a good schedule. So I think we still got to look at Byfield. He's still on the top line there and he's still a dynamic player. At number nine, I've got Big Boone Jenner. Yes, sir. He does it all. All right. I mean, Boone Jenner, he's got 3 points in his last five games. Metrics are terrible, right? Which is not normal for Jenner, but I mean, Columbus has been terrible all year, but deployment is huge. He's out there for over 21 minutes every night. Top line, top power play. He hits, he blocks, he does it all. I love Boone Jenner. It's been a down season for him. I really hope that Columbus can get their crap sorted out here. I know Pascal Vincent was just put in place here, but get him the hell out of there. This guy doesn't know what the hell is going on. He's pissing all his players off. It's just, it's a mess there. So we'll see what happens in Columbus in the offseason. And then I put Arturi Lehkonen here as number 10. That might be wishful thinking. You know, he hasn't gotten the deployment that we need to see for Lehkonen to really pop, but I feel like, you know, once this Casey Mittelstadt thing, like you could throw Casey Mittelstadt here as well over Lehkonen, right? That probably makes sense. I'm going Lehkonen because I feel like he brings more to the table, but right now Mittelstadt is that top power play. So we could throw Mittelstadt up there, but I just want Lehkonen. I think that if they give him the opportunity, if they give him that opportunity, we're looking at a pretty valuable player. And who the hell knows how long Nichushkin is going to be out with this injury. So there you go. Those are the top players for points ranked by me. Let's talk about beefers best for hits. And I think there's no question. Number one, Jeremy Lozon. Yeah, if he's out there and you have a league that counts hits, what kind of clown league are you in? My God, this guy's lapping the field. He's you know, one of the best beefers of all time. So shout out to Jeremy Lozon. The way he hits is ridiculous. So I'm a big fan of that. Number two, I've got Will Cooley of the New York Rangers. Guy's a per minute beast when it comes to hits, and he can pot the occasional goal as well. So that's a player that is going to be interesting moving forward. I like the way that player profiles, certainly in a bangers league. Number three, we got to go Cal Clutterbuck. Why the hell not? I think this guy's the all-time hits leader ever now. I thought I read something like that. So, I mean, yeah, and he's going to continue to do that. The Islanders have a great schedule. Number four, Cole Smith, Nashville. Yep, they like to hit over there. They're in Nashville, and obviously things are going well, I mean, for the most part. So Cole Smith is absolutely viable if you're looking for hits. And then I threw Kyle Burrows in here as well from San Jose. If you're looking for a hit streamer, he does that in spades, right? He's a beefer. Best for blocks, I think we got to look at Colton Parayko. Again, you know, when we're looking at peripheral stats here, we want guys that have the most games, right? So these are all four-game teams, unless it was Jeremy Lozon with 3 games, and then I would have chosen him anyway. But Colton Parayko, 4 games. He's a block master. He does that. Matt Roy at number two. Caden Gooley as well. He's going to get suspended for Saturday's game for whacking Travis Konecny from the bench as he was skating by. But that's fine. He'll be back for next week. Caden Gooley blocks a lot of shots. So have a look there. Mario Ferraro of San Jose as your number four. And then David Savard in Montreal as well. You know, that's not a great team. So I think they're going to be blocking a lot of shots, right? And they got guys that do that. All right. Almost done, folks. Thanks for sticking it out with me here. We got to look at long-term plays, and you know, I'm going to kind of echo what Nate has said here. Like at this point, we're just looking at players from the best playoff schedule teams exclusively. We're not looking to, what's the future, right? There is no future. All right. The future is now, right? We're in week 25. Maybe your playoffs end this week, in week 25, maybe they end in week 26. So, we do what we have to do and we don't look back. All right. Also, we try not to look past next week too much. We got to win this matchup to make it to the next round. All right. Common sense, but it's worth repeating. All right. Let's talk about goalies here. And I do think with this week that we've just talked about here, I'm not really a big fan of streaming in goalies this week. Like they're too volatile. You know, if you're really in dire straits with your goalie situation, like, yeah, we were going to need to stream in some goalies, but I'd rather just spend those ads on skaters, right? Because I think you're going to be able to get them in based on what the games are this week. So keep that in mind. I don't think goalie streams are really big, especially in points leagues, right? In category leagues, yeah, you're going to need goalies to get you those statistics, right? But to me, I think I'd rather focus on skaters. That said, some long-term plays you can do for goalies. I think Jonas Korpisalo, he's at 51%. I think he could get 3 games next week, right? They've been prioritizing him a little bit over Forsberg. I mean, he's also got 4 wins in his last 5, including 3 in a row. So Ottawa seems to be playing a little looser these days. take it for what it's worth, right? But if he's out there, could be a good option for you. Craig DeSmith of the Canucks, I think he could play all three games in week 25, right? The backup that they have, Archer Silovs, he's starting on Sunday so against Anaheim. So I think they could just roll with DeSmith. They have three games next week. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets all three. That said, I mean, he's a journeyman, right? Like, the Canucks are treading water with DeSmith in net. They need Demko back, clearly. But DeSmith, he had a good game against Dallas. They just didn't give him any, you know, run support. So I think he's viable. And if he's out there, he's a good add if you need a goalie. Also want to talk about Sam Ersson. I think he's going to get two games next week, right? Fedotov should get one half of their back-to-back. But again, Ersson is totally viable. He's on a playoff team currently, or a team that could make the playoffs. So they got something to play for, and he's going to be in there for probably two games minimum. So I think that's worth a look. And then Jake Allen and Kaapo Kähkönen of the Devils, they're going to get two starts each next week. The Devils have two back-to-backs, actually, which is a really interesting scheduling quirk. They play Tuesday, Wednesday, and then they play Saturday, Sunday. So it's pretty much ironclad that you're going to get two starts from both those goalies. So if you need two starts, grab one of those goalies, right? I think obviously you're going to want to prioritize Jake Allen. Had a rough outing today. Tage just popped off for four goals. Oh my God, I love that. I've got Tage in a bunch of spots, and that's really helping me out. But yeah, so you just, again, it's just about guaranteed starts. That's what we're looking at here. I don't think that one game goalie stream should be something that you're looking at this week. And lastly, we'll look at sub 25% rostered goalies. Something that you want to take a look at is Semyon Varlamov. He's 19% rostered. He's getting a second straight start on Saturday here for the Islanders. And that's very interesting, right? Like, I think it's been well documented that Sorokin has been playing like hot garbage. Like, they can't win with Sorokin, but they've been winning with Varlamov. And, you know, they're basically playing their way out of a playoff spot. Like, it's no good, right? The Islanders need every point they can at this point of the year to get into that wild card. So Patrick Waugh is going with Varlamov for a second straight game. I think he could be worth an add, right? They have a back-to-back on Monday, Tuesday as well. So he's going to get in another one fairly quickly. And if he plays well and Sorokin plays poorly, I could see him getting two to three starts next week, right? And that's Varlamov. So take that for what it's worth. This guy could be someone that could help you in this week here. Sam Montembeault is out there, to me, of Montreal. Seems like he has the upper hand over Caden Primo. So take that for what it's worth. And then Dustin Wolf I threw on this list as well. I just think Calgary might fade Markstrom a little bit moving forward and give Dustin Wolf the bulk of the starts, right? Again, keep in mind it's on Calgary, right? So if you need a decent goalie for cheap, I think you could do a lot worse than Dustin Wolf. All right. Now we got to talk about the head-to-head streamer deathmatch. Yo, it's going to be good stuff. All right. Nate, I'm up on the season here on Nate 10-9. So that's good. And this week we're looking at Nate's Troy Terry versus my Ivan Barbashev. And I'm smashing right now. I love it. Well, Ivan Barbashev is smashing. He's got three goals in three games, and Troy Terry's played two games. He's got donuts in those two games. But Troy Terry's got two games left. Barbashev has one game left. We're looking pretty. I'm excited. I'm about to go 11-9 on the season. Nate's going to be in a world of hurt, but that's fine. So we've got our picks for next week, week 25. And I pick first, and I'm choosing Brian Rust. For all the reasons I mentioned, I'm love this player. And I love him this week. Nate is taking Gustav Nyquist. So, you know, we'll see. It's his Nyquist versus my Rust. That's awesome. But that's it. We are done. I know this was a beefer, but I want to make sure I'm getting all this information out to you guys, because I know this is crunch time. This is it, right? So hopefully, you know, you listen to this. I'm going to put some timestamps in here so you can click to the sections that you want to get to. But before I let you go, I definitely want to plug 18 Skaters Daily Summaries at 18 Skaters on Twitter. This is a guy who's been posting some amazing daily summaries of all these advanced stats and peripheral stats as well. He does it on applesandgenos.com or applesgenos.com. Also, Nate reposts it on the Apples and Genos Twitter page as well. Definitely check those out. It's nice reading for you first thing in the morning. Gets your head in the game. So shout out to 18 Skaters. Apples and Genos has a Patreon. I'll plug that as well. I mean, all the information is in the description there. So check that out. Also, please, if this pod has been helpful to you this season, I know so many of you have rated the pod already, and we really appreciate that. If you have time, if you like what you hear, please go give us a rating and a review. That would really help us out. We also have a listener survey with the link in the description here as well. Please fill that out if you have some time. That's going to help shape what we do here moving forward. And we've got some great feedback and some stuff that's getting us excited. We're already going to implement, you know, as soon as possible. So anyways, that link's in the description. But that's it. That's all we've got for the episode, everybody. Hopefully you got a little bit better at fantasy hockey today. All right. And it brought you some value. I love that. All the advanced stats you heard today came from Natural Stat Trick, which is a terrific free resource. Many thanks to the band They're There for supplying the music for the podcast. Be sure to check out their Spotify as well. That's it, folks. Celebrate your day. Bye for now.